Jewelry. Diamonds. What else?
Small things, eh?
Yes, small things.
And you'd like us to look after them for you?
Yes.
Rough and cut stones, then. No jewelry. Startled, Cleese grunted half in anger, half in surprise.
What do you want me to do? Destroy the pieces? My God.
When the time comes, you may wish you had. Cleese heaved a sigh.
Very well. Rough and cut stones. No mountings.
Would Hagen really go along with things? The halfback's hands spread as if to catch a ball. London might not be as safe as you think. America might be better. Why not take them there? There was a possibility. Far better than London. Much safer. Cleese's laugh was humorless.
Can you see me carrying a suitcase full of stuff through their customs without a visa?
You've money. Buy yourself some papers. The Dutchman's gaze narrowed.
You are naive. It is not so easy. Besides...
there's the matter of your record, Mynheer. One doesn't steal diamonds from a member of a bourse. One gets ostracized that way. Damn him.
Please, I am only asking as an old friend of the Heer Wunsch. You will tell him, yeah? Here, I will give you a card where I can be reached. He will understand and do as I say. It is not much to ask. Just a vault beneath the streets of London.
Just someone to take the diamonds over. Someone who had the clearance to do so. How much are you willing to pay us? Must he continually be forced to beg?
10%. The Dillinghams need never know. It is business, yeah? Just like during the Russian Revolution, when the bear shed his coat only to let it grow back in again.
How do you really come by the stones?
Friends, associates, I cannot say.
The Dutchman fished for a cigarillo. Hagen said, the answer is no, Mynheer. It can never be anything else, and you're only too well aware of this. Cleese took a moment to study this salesman of industrial diamonds who had the reputation of his father.
Times change. Old friends should not be made to beg, Mynheer Hagen. Just tell Bernard that I was in, and ask him to allow me the courtesy of an answer from his own lips.
The coffee was black and strong. The deep brown eyes were wide and searching. An anxious frown still furrowed her brow. Has everyone gone? He asked.
Yes, all but the Heer Levin. He has asked to see you, Mynheer Hagen.
She was young, not quite 23 years old, and at times so serious. Arlette, please call me by my first name, at least after hours. He had taken off his jacket and had rolled up his sleeves. The straps of his suspenders were broad, and where they met the shoulders, the white shirt was creased.
That man, the Heer Wunsch, he has asked me to send him away. I do not think it right of you to have...
She dropped her eyes, felt so foolish now. Hagen set the cup and saucer down and waited for her to finish. She blurted,
you're such a good man, Mynheer Hagen. I did not want to see you get in trouble.
There, she had let him know how she felt about him, and must now await the rebuff. She'd never see the smile or know in it the kindness he felt. Wait here, will you? Let me go and have a word with Lev. Then I'll walk you to the tram car after we lock the vault. The shop was in the back of the building, on the same floor. Alone among the rows of benches, Asher Lev was bent over his wheel, faceting a stone. Hagen quietly cleared his throat. Lev let him have it, but didn't take his eyes off the stone.
Is it right that you should keep an old man working like this? If you wish to spit, please do so outside.
Hagen chuckled. Lev continued to work. The sound of the grinding, diamond on diamond paste, rang in the empty air. With a thumb, Lev applied a little more of the paste to the rapidly rotating scaife. The diamond, cemented to its top, was given a minute adjustment.
It is best we work, you and me. Richard, you are going to see our friends next week. Dusseldorf, Essen, Hanover, Hamburg, Kiel, no less, in the shores of the Baltic. Then Berlin. Ah, Berlin. I should be so lucky. Did I ever tell you I used to go fishing on the Spree? There, I thought not. Yes, me, Asher Levinsky, now Levin,